Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We're kicking off with what I think will be a really interesting conversation about one very well-known word and Aussie brand that's actually today a global brand. In the Christian community, it ranges from being super popular to polarizing. When the media writes about it, it's almost always negative. The word, the brand is Hillsong. It began as a tiny gathering of 45 people in a northwestern Sydney suburb in 1983. Just on 30 years later, it's in Melbourne, Brisbane, the UK, US, Germany, France, Ukraine, Russia, the Netherlands, Sweden, and South Africa. Here's the question. What's the secret to its success? If you've got some experience or a view, I'm sure you'll be interested in the views of my next guest, who's also asking, what can marketers learn, secular marketers, from this fast-growing, as he puts it, faith factory? Robin Hicks is the managing editor of the popular online media and marketing news site Mumbrella. Robin is an atheist with some thought-provoking observations for all churches, and here's the thing, he's not bagging out Hillsong. He says it might just be Australia's most powerful brand. I'm so glad to say that he joins us now on Open House. Robin, welcome.
Hello, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. Robin, before you set about this task of looking at Hillsong from the inside, as you've done, what was your impression of it from the outside?
Well, from the outside, I mean, as a journalist, as you mentioned, I'm an atheist. All I could go on, really, was what I've read. And Hillsong does suffer from awful PR. It's had a book written about it, calling it toxic Christianity, allegations of vote stacking, Australian Idol, lack of transparency over its finances, etc., etc. So my impression initially was poor. But I did go along to a service this last Sunday, in fact, to experience for myself Hillsong as a brand, as a marketing machine. And, yeah, as you mentioned, I was blown away by how strong they are at marketing, particularly to young people.
You'd already known some people in Hillsong. What was your view of the brand through them?
People that I know who attend Hillsong are extremely evangelical. In fact, you could actually say that they're the strongest brand advocates for Hillsong.
The people that you knew of, you say, were not brainwashed members of some cult.
The people that I met through Hillsong, having attended a church, were thoughtful, intelligent, warm, kind people, and certainly weren't the sort of weird, strange individuals that some people perceive Hillsongers to be.
When you look at the Hillsong story and the growth of it and where it is today, how do you rate the success of Hillsong?
Well, it's absolutely phenomenal, isn't it? As I wrote, I do think it's Australia's most powerful brand. I mean, the figures vary dramatically, but I think it's worth about $150 million globally. It's absolutely phenomenal success. And I think the means with which it's used to do that is through very slick marketing, use of new media, new technology, things that are relevant to young people that they can easily fit into their lives. And what it's done is taken a very old religion and reframed it for a younger audience, much like any good brand would do. And indeed, I think that all religions really should be thinking about marketing their brands. Every religion needs to market itself and be appealing to the next generation. They need to reach out and repeatedly explain to people what they stand for, just like any brand, like Tim Tams, Vegemite or Qantas.
And yet, as you point out, they don't use an ad agency.
No, absolutely they don't. They've got a very small, they tell me, very small in-house marketing team. They don't use advertising agencies like I mentioned, Tim Tams and Vegemite and Qantas do. They've got an incredible store of creativity within as an organisation, and that's absolutely their strong point.
So you went along to this Hillsong service. What was that experience like for you?
To be honest, it's not my style of worship. I'm used to dusty old churches in England that are hundreds of years old. And I was absolutely blown away, first of all, by how young everyone was, but secondly, how welcoming they were. Immediately, as I walked in, I was led to the front of the auditorium to take part in the service. And immediately, there was a song. And it was like being in a large karaoke booth. I mean, the words came up on the screen. And the song itself, I still remember it because it's still going through my head. It was so catchy, so evocative, that I found myself singing along.
And you were determined not to sing.
Yes, I was. Before I went, I was determined to be a cynical journalist about it. But I found myself being, and I don't use this term negatively, but sucked into proceedings.
Yeah.
So I really was, although I'm not converted, I certainly was, I could see its appeal.
You say the key to Hillsong's success, of all things, and beyond marketing, is the music. Why do you say that?
Well, music is used in advertising as a very powerful way to connect to audiences quickly. It's very emotive, and so it finds connections, particularly with young people, straight away. But yeah, the song I was singing and that everyone else was singing when I first got to Hillsong was a song called "The Stand." It's on the Hillsong United label, and it's got the feel of a quiet, somber track that you'd hear, as I mentioned, in a very old school church. It had the feel of a Robbie Williams anthem, and it's, as I mentioned, it's still going through my head, and it's still there. And that's mark of a strong band to produce a track that repeatedly stays in your head.
And it's the breadth of music across a range of genres, so it's not just one narrow little cast.
Well, that's exactly it. And I was speaking to a producer, a music producer, who used to work for Hillsong. He was saying to me that what Hillsong music has, the advantage it has over, say, Christian music in the US, is that it does appeal to a broad range of genres, so gospel, dance, soft rock, hard rock. So it appeals to lots of different people, and that again is a great way of converting non-believers. If you can get them to listen to your music, then further down the track, then perhaps they would join your church.
One of the people you spoke to for your article is Clemenger's Al Crawford in a highly significant advertising agency.
Yes.
Tell me what he had to say about Hillsong.
He's also an atheist, I must add. But he was saying that the genius of Hillsong is that it is working with rather than against the modern sort of materialistic world in which we live. So that another thing that Hillsong gets rapped for is it preaches the health and wealth gospel, the idea that, you know, wealth and success are signs of God's favour, which not everyone agrees with. But yeah, no, absolutely. Al was saying that they're going with the tide rather than fighting the tide, which a lot of more traditional churches tend to do. He thinks that's smart marketing.
And it's difficult to sell something to anyone if they're not listening. I just think that that's such a message many churches should get or could get.
Yes, absolutely. Al was saying that, you know, if you can enthrall the audience with music and theatrics, then what you tell them afterwards is on fertile ground. And that's exactly what happened to me in my first experience of Hillsong. Immediately I was struck with a very, very beautiful song, which, as I said, still in my head. And then what the pastor said after that sunk in.
It did. That was the question I was going to ask you. So were you able to see Jesus Christ much there, which is what it's all about?
Mm-hmm. Someone in the comments though beneath my story mentioned, Robin, when you have a religious experience, when you meet Jesus, then you'll stop seeing him as a brand. I haven't had a religious experience, but I might argue, you know, what is a religious experience? Could you not experience the same sort of feeling when you see an ad for Coca-Cola on the television? Ultimately, it's a chemical reaction in your brain that makes you feel a certain way that connects you with something. It could be Jesus, it could be a regular brand.
Yes, I guess their point was, were you overwhelmed or impressed by the brand rather than the content of the brand?
Yeah, I'd say that as I was a journalist there trying to be objective, and I had a mission on my mind was to create a story, then I wasn't in the right frame of mind to experience, I wasn't that receptive to being converted by Jesus, I guess.
Did you go away with pause for thought about Jesus, what this was all on about?
Yes, I did, but to be honest, I am religiously unreligious in the sense that I've got a science degree, I was brought up as a Christian, I was confirmed, I went to chapel until the age of 13, but then I went to, obviously, as I grew, I took science lessons, I went to university, and I discovered Charles Darwin and books of Richard Dawkins, and from that point on, I'm afraid there's no turning back at the moment in terms of converting me back to Jesus.
But this experience clearly came as quite a shock to you from the dusty old churches that you used to inhabit.
Yeah, no, absolutely it did. And yeah, as I said, back in England many years ago, I used to sit in very cold churches listening to dreary old sermons, and here I was at Hillsong singing away to a religious song, a song about Jesus and the message that he has. So, yeah, I was bowled away by that message, but again, I guess I'm too cynical to be converted just yet.
That's okay. There's still time. You say that secular marketers could take away a lot of lessons from the Hillsong experience. What will they learn, Robin?
What I think they'll learn is about Again, we mentioned the power of music, but mostly what they'll learn is the need to continually reinvent your brand so that it's relevant. Every brand, from Madonna to Coca-Cola, needs to stay relevant with their target group. If you don't, then you'll fall behind and lose your relevance and lose your customers ultimately. So I think the Hillsong message is about taking a story, a brand story, and making sure absolutely that it's relevant and it appeals to young people.
It's going to be a continuing challenge for them in, say, 5-10 years. To keep on reinventing that, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a challenge of marketing, is to continually stay fresh, continually stay on message, and keep in tune with the media habits of your consumers. So what Hillsong does wonderfully well is use technology, use the stuff that young people are using, and stay in their lives.
Can you maintain the message while the methods change? Is there a way that you can stay true to that message about Jesus Christ and change how it's presented?
Yeah, yes, no, absolutely it is. Brian Houston's been saying that what Hillsong preaches is not a lot different to what every other Christian church preaches. It's just the methods they're using change. And I quote Brian Houston, who said that, you know, churches can no longer just preach to people Sundays. They must be relevant to their Mondays too. And what that means is keeping up to date with the media habits, the media consumption habits of young, everyday Australians.
You say that it's packaged its beliefs better than anyone you know, even Coca-Cola. This is in a marketing kind of sense.
Yes.
Beyond music, how have they done it? What is it that they've given people or done for people that has made them so successful, in your view?
My first encounter with Hillsong in Australia was when I was lying on Bronte Beach. I looked up at the sky, and there was some skywriting, some figures formed by an aeroplane in the sky, which was the crucifix, the sign of Jesus, then an equal sign, and then a heart sign, so Jesus is love. And so what Hillsong has done is used very cleverly non-traditional media. We call that in marketing terms ambient media. So they've used the element of surprise to draw in consumers as well. So not just skywriting, they use logos on the side of their buses. They use what's called floor media, so stickers around churches to continually get messages out to people in places where they are. And that could be surprising places as well. But beyond that, obviously, and I mentioned technology, Hillsong is on iPhone, it's on iTunes. They've got podcasts that 180,000 downloads per month. And they use social media very well. Hillsong's got an incredibly strong Facebook presence. It's on Twitter. YouTube has 41 million views across four channels. So its use of different and emerging channels is extremely impressive.
But deeper than that, you do sense a sense of purpose and belonging among those who are there.
Yes, absolutely. The people that I met, and I would say this is possibly beyond music, is the strongest marketing tactic of Hillsong. It's an extremely evangelical, it's a cold phrase, but it's a marketing phrase, that everyone's on message. What they say, they believe in, and that's the power of Hillsong, the ability to convert non-believers.
Robin Hicks, thoroughly enjoyed our chat. Thank you so much for joining us on Open House.
Thanks very much, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.